Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Be As Your Lord, as we pick up in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
He that loves his father or mother more than he loves me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our love for Christ has to be supreme, even above those of our family members, if they are not united with us in the faith. If they are not a part of that kingdom of light, our love for Christ must exceed even our love for those in our own family. And he that does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. When we get to chapter 16, we'll take up the cross and what it means. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses life for my sake shall find it. That we will also take up in chapter 16. He that receives you. Now, you see the authority that Jesus gives to his disciples. I mean, you are there representing the Lord. You should be as your Lord. And those that receive you receive me. And he that receives me receives the Father who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So you're doing it as unto the Lord, giving as unto the Lord, giving unto a servant of the Lord. You receive him as you receive the Lord, and as you give to him, it is as giving unto the Lord, and you will receive your reward for it. Giving a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, you shall in no wise lose your reward. Now it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of these commandments, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their city. So he sent them out in front of them, and then he departed and was following up now and coming into the cities. They were sort of advance men for him to go out in advance. Now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, John had been placed in prison by Herod, and John had been preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, there's one who is coming after me. He's mightier than I am. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. But here is John still in Herod's prison, and he's saying to the Lord, hey, let's get the show on the road. For even John did not fully understand the mission of Christ in his first coming, but was anticipating the immediate establishment of the kingdom of God as was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. And so the fact that Jesus had not yet proclaimed his power and overthrown the Roman yoke, and John was still in prison, he was getting impatient. And he sends his disciples to Jesus, say, hey, are you the one, or shall we start looking for someone else? Which he was just really saying, let's get this thing going. I'm tired of sitting here in jail. Let's get the kingdom on the road, you know, let's get this movement going. Are you the one that we should look for, or shall we start looking for someone else? Now, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever is not offended in me. Now, Jesus, rather than answering John directly, points to his ministry, the works that he was doing. You remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he was talking to his disciples, and John records it so faithfully there in the 14th chapter, where Jesus had been saying, "Now look, I'm going to the Father, and if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we really don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Well, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." And he said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father also." And Philip said, "Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, it will suffice us." Jesus said, "Have I been so long a time with you, and haven't you seen me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Why do you say then, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that the Father is in me? And the works that I do, I don't really do of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, or else believe for the very works' sake." In other words, Jesus was pointing to the works as the evidence of his commission, of his person, of his authority, pointing to the works. He also said, "The works that I do, they do testify of me." They were the evidence. He was fulfilling the promises of the kingdom in the Old Testament. As far as the lame walking, the blind seeing, the dumb speaking, the deaf hearing, he was fulfilling. The dead were being raised, the poor had the gospel preached, and he was fulfilling those aspects of the kingdom. And so his works were a witness and a testimony. So all he did was heal a few of the sick that were around there, open the eyes of the blind and all. And he said, "Now you just go back and tell John what you see. And just tell him, blessed is the one who doesn't get offended because of my not really establishing the kingdom immediately and overthrowing the Roman yoke and establishing a physical, visible, earthly kingdom." Now they departed, and Jesus began to talk to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist. And he said, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind?" John was preaching down at the Jordan River, a lot of reeds down at the Jordan River. "Did you go down the Jordan River just to watch the reeds being blown by the wind? How come you went out of the cities and down to the Jordan? Why did you go there to see? But what did you go out to see?" Obviously, you didn't go out to see the reeds being blown in the wind. "What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" A man who was wearing fancy clothes? "Behold, those that wear the soft clothing are in the king's houses. They're not in the king's prisons." John was in the king's prison at that time, and those who wear that kind of clothes are in the king's houses, palaces. "What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.'" He is declaring to them that John was indeed the fulfillment of the promise of a forerunner who would come before the Messiah to prepare his way. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." In other words, our position as children of God through Jesus Christ puts us in a greater position than those of the Old Testament. Our position of having the Holy Spirit indwelling us puts us in a greater position. Of all of the women or men born of women, not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Yet the privileges that God has bestowed upon us in the church exceed those privileges. Now, so oftentimes we think, "Oh, how blessed it must have been for Abraham to have had that kind of a relationship with God, and Moses and David and all. But in reality, the potential of relationship that is ours through the Spirit is tremendous. That God would dwell in us by His Spirit. That God would empower us with His Spirit. Absolutely amazing. So even the least of us, filled with the Spirit of God, walking in this glorious fellowship with Jesus Christ, have greater privileges than those of the old dispensation. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. John was thrown into prison, and soon he is to be beheaded. And the kingdom of heaven is going to suffer violence. The king himself is going to be crucified. And so the kingdom of heaven is suffering the violence of man. And the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're able to receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, in an interesting way, according to Jesus, John the Baptist was Elijah. This does bring up some confusion, and when we get to the 17th chapter, we will look at this again in a little more detail. But when Zechariah the priest was fulfilling his ministry in the temple, the angel Gabriel came to him and told him that his wife Elizabeth, who had been barren, was in her old age going to bear a son, and he was to call his name John. And the angel told him, he shall go forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children unto their fathers. He quotes this prophecy that Jesus quoted concerning the forerunner of the Messiah. And basically, the Lord was saying, John the Baptist was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, coming in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. When in the Gospel of John the Baptist began his ministry, they came out to him and began to challenge him concerning his authority. And they said unto him, who are you? And they asked him point blank, are you Elijah? And John answered, no. Then they said, who are you? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths and all. Quoting another passage of scripture concerning the forerunner. Now, the reason for the ambiguity here is the fact that before Jesus comes again and establishes his visible physical kingdom upon the earth, Elijah will be coming, of which John the Baptist was a type, for he came in the spirit and in the power. So even as there were two aspects of the coming of Jesus Christ, the first to be crucified, suffering violence, the second to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so there are two aspects of the forerunner, Elijah. So John the Baptist came to fulfill the first, coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah, but Elijah himself will actually come before Jesus returns again, and Elijah will prophesy before the Lord to the Jewish people, not to the world, but to the Jewish people, to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, that is, to bring the Jewish people back unto the faith of the patriarchs in God the Father. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, I am convinced that one of those two witnesses in Jerusalem will indeed be John the Baptist, for he has the power to shut up heaven that it not rain during the time of his ministry, even as Elijah prayed and it rained not. And he has power to call down fire on his enemies to consume them, even as Elijah called down fire upon the captain with the 50s who came out from the king to take him in. So Elijah coming before the Lord. Now, Because I believe that the coming of the Lord is so near, I do believe that somewhere in the earth today, Elijah probably is alive and living. Because I believe that we are that near the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't think that anybody knows who he is or where he is. He may know himself. But I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for the Lord to come for me. I think that it's easy for us to get our eyes off the main attraction and start looking for little side events. Oh, who's the Antichrist? I wonder if this one could be the Antichrist, you know, and all. Let's look for the main event, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is saying, hey, this is tough to tell, you know. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, if you can take it, if you can handle it, if you will receive it, you know, this is he. This is Elijah, if you can receive it. Now, if you can't receive it, then take it however you want. But he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, in a sense, it was Elijah coming in the spirit and the power as a forerunner of the Messiah, but not the total fulfillment of that promise in Malachi. Now, what shall I liken this generation to? It is like children who are sitting in the marketplace that are calling to their fellows. They're seeking entertainment. And they say, hey, we've piped to you and you didn't dance. So we mourned and you didn't cry. What do you want? What are you looking for? So John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking. And the Pharisees said, he has a devil. And he said, the Son of Man came, both eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners. But he said, wisdom is justified of her children. What do the people want? They really didn't know what they want. John came as an ascetic. And they said, he's got a devil. Jesus came mixing with people. And they said, oh, he's a friend of the sinners. He's a friend of the publicans, a winebibber. And then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they did not repent. It is interesting that these cities that he upbraided around the Galilee have all of them been destroyed and today are nothing but ruins. In fact, it wasn't until just recently that they even discovered the site of Bethsaida. And for a long time, thought that maybe the Bible was just speaking of some fictitious place until more recently the archaeologists have uncovered Bethsaida. But Jesus, in these cities that he pronounces woes upon, it is interesting that they have totally disappeared. Whereas many of the other cities, such as Tiberias, which was the capital of the Galilee region where Herod lived, and Jesus didn't really go to Tiberias. It still remains today Tiberias. The city is still there. But Capernaum is gone, Bethsaida is gone, Chorazin is gone, so that these cities that he upbraided have disappeared off the map. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Capernaum was the headquarters of Jesus. That was his city. That's where he spent the majority of his ministry. His earthly ministry was spent in and around the city of Capernaum. The majority of the miracles that Christ wrought were wrought in Capernaum, and yet the people there did not repent. And he said, if the works had been done in the city of Sodom that were done here in Capernaum, they would have repented. And so the judgment that he pronounces upon Capernaum to be cast down to hell. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Why? Unto whom much is given, much is required. The greater understanding and light that a man receives, the greater will be the judgment of that individual. And so when God does judge, it will be according to the understanding or the knowledge that God has given, according to the grace that they've been exposed to, will be the degree of judgment by which they will be judged. At that time, Jesus answered and said, now he has just rebuked these cities for their failure to repent, for their failure to receive, and then he turns from the rebuking of these cities to the Father in a prayer in which he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto the babes. Father, I thank you. The great people of the earth, those great people of Capernaum and Bethsaida and all, you've hid the truth from them, but here are these babes, simple, ordinary people that you've chosen to reveal your truth.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 10 through 11 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you this week. May he watch over your lives and keep you in his love. May you abound in the love of Jesus Christ. May there just be that rich flowing forth in and from your life as God works in you his perfect work of love and grace. May God grant that you have just a special week of enjoying the goodness and the fullness of God and his love. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
God is looking for someone that he can use to accomplish his purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. So what was it that gave them the certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God and to be a powerful, godly influence to change the world? Well, in a book entitled The Man God Uses, Pastor Chuck Smith brings the scriptures to life as he examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret to the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God and to be an instrument that he can use, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, The Man God Uses. To order a copy of this book in print or download a digital copy, please visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.